Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1058. I guess I'll just keep saying go to ID10T.com/signup and join the email list. Remember those email lists? The archaic form of mass communication before social media, which I think fell out of favor for a while, and then now it's coming back a little bit because social media just inundates us all the time. We don't know what to sort through, so sign up on the email list. You may or may not even get something from us. I think most spam catchers detect anything that's like a mass email, so hopefully you'll get it. But, you know, we don't post too often. We don't mail out stuff too often anyway. So ID10T.com/signup. As always, let's talk about the ID10T community corkboard. Laszlo writes, I made a thing to exercise my creativity and hopefully bring a small piece of joy to people in these difficult times. Starship Mine is a sci-fi themed choose-your-own-adventure store. You can vote on how the plot unfolds, giving you the power to take your starship on an epic journey across the galaxy. Head to @starship_mine, M-I-N-E, and decide what should happen next. All right. Thank you, Laszlo. That's a fun way to be creative and engage people in these times. This episode is my friend Frank Matano, who is this lovely Italian comedian that I met when Lydia and I went to Italy last year. We went to Italy last May. And I tell the story on the podcast, but basically, this really nice fellow who's an Italian comedian sent me a message on, like a private message on Instagram or something, and said, hey, my name's Frank, I'm an Italian comedian, I listen to your podcast, I'd love to say hi. So I met up with him, just the sweetest guy, you know, speaks amazing English, and is also a very, very talented and popular comedian in Italia. Got his start on YouTube. He's one of the judges on Italy's Got Talent. He's a touring comedian. He writes films. He does movies, television. He's just such a wonderful guy. And we've been in contact during this whole thing. We check in on each other every so often. And so I said, oh, I'd love to have you on the podcast to sort of just, you know, share my love of Italy, talk comedy, cultural comedy over there and over here, practice some of my Italian, which is still very bad because I don't get to practice it very often. And he was very forgiving of that, which I appreciate. And also, you know, just find out what the state of things is over there right now. And so I really feel like this chat has a lot to offer. And my heart just goes out to, it goes out to everyone, and also Italy, which, you know, is a country that I love so much. And I cannot wait to go back. And I know there will be a time where we will be able to go back. So thank you to Frank Matano. We did this via Zoom. So if I can find some video clips, I'll see if I can just lift them out and post some of these on Instagram, either at my account, Hardwick, or on ID10T. And Frank is Frank Matano, FrankMatano on Instagram. And he's been doing such a wonderful job of posting some, you know, just fun, I don't know. He's a fun account to follow. And if you're learning Italian, even if you don't speak Italian, they're still fun and funny. You can see the translation on the descriptions if you need to. But he's really doing what he can to sort of keep spirits light in this incredibly trying time. So again, thank you to Frank. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. As always, I hope you're staying safe and healthy. And I hope you're staying home if possible. Oh, one small minor correction in the podcast. We were talking about Rome, and I think I was saying, oh, Lydia and I stayed near, I meant to say the Pantheon, and I said the Parthenon. The Parthenon, it was on the Athenian Acropolis in Greece, not the Pantheon, which is a beautiful, very old building in Rome. So I apologize to anyone who's like, it's the Pantheon, it's not the Parthenon. There is also a Parthenon in Nashville, but the Pantheon is in Rome. No points that round, Chris Hardwick. And here's the ID10T podcast number 1058 con Francesco Matano. Eccola.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
hear me?
Very well. Proverò l'italiano
sì.
Insieme con inglese, con italiano.
Va benissimo. It's sì. No problem. I'm going to try English too. E italiano. Va benissimo.
Non so molte parole. So I it might be a mix of me saying English e italiano perché
non ci sono problemi. Io ti aiuterò.
Sì, sì, il tuo inglese è meglio che il mio italiano.
Sì, un pochino, a little bit.
Sure, but you study.
Intanto ti dico che coronavirus anche in Italia si chiama coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
Sì, it's the same thing.
Same thing. lo stesso.
È lo stesso.
Sì. Coronavirus sounds that makes it sound like something culinary. Coronavirus.
Like a plate of pasta. Take a coronavirus.
vorrei non vorrei un coronavirus.
No.
Soltanto acqua minerale, ma
acqua minerale.
No coronavirus per
sì, sì.
I'm so glad to finally have you on the podcast. Just to give people some context, Lydia and I were in Italy last May, maggio, when that was something that you could do, is go
play. Yeah.
And Italy is my favorite. I love it. My mother's family is from Italy. I studied Italian, and it's the best. And you messaged me and said, yeah. Hey, we don't know each other, but I am a comedian here in Italy, and I listen to your podcast. Do you want to meet up and say hi? And I was like, fuck yeah. And we got to meet up.
Yeah, it was so great.
It was great. But just for some context, you're tua mamma è americana, sì?
Yeah, my mother is American, sì. Mia mamma è americana. She's from Providence, Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
She's from Italian family. I was born in Italy. I grew up in Italy, but I did my last year of high school in the United States. So that's my last time speaking a lot of English. So maybe I'm like you. I'm going to be missing some English words. Non parlerò benissimo.
Sì, 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 va bene. Vicino a Caserta e Napoli.
A Carinola, è provincia di Caserta. It's near Caserta. Caserta, sì, sì. Campania. Southern Italy.
Quando ho viaggiato
sì?
In Italia, ho cominciato a Napoli.
Ok.
Napoli, Roma, where else do we go? Verona e Venezia.
Venezia, beautiful. Milano no.
We didn't have time, but...
Yeah.
I loved Naples. Was sort of like I don't know if this will make sense, but it's sort of like if Detroit were 2,000 years old. It's like it's very industrial, and it looks like they're trying to like really revitalize it.
Yeah, it's a really really special place. It's really unique in Italy. It's culturally really a live place. It's full of actors and music and. Ideas. It's a really, really interesting city. It's one of the most special ones in Italy.
Mio bisnonno era di Napoli, è corretto?
Sì.
Era di Napoli.
Okay. Wow, era di Napoli, era napoletano.
Sì, 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 napoletano e bisnonna è calabrese.
Wow, bisnonna calabrese. That's a really, really interesting mix.
Is it
for Italian culture? No. It's really southern. Like Calabria is really southern.
Yes.
It's like two really really deep cultures of Italy that go together, and it's a really good mix, I think.
Oh, that's good. I did ancestry.com, and yeah. I was able to trace my, you know, Anglo mutt father's side of the family back centuries, and the Italian side was maybe one generation past my great grandparents.
Oh, wow.
Because they were just from these villages where I guess they just didn't write shit down.
No. So that's like, why I don't believe those sites, by the way, most of the times.
No. So I don't, There is, I have a cousin, Francesca Facente, a Roma.
Ciao Francesca Facente.
Ma lei non parla l'inglese.
Certo.
But we didn't have time to meet up, so I didn't, didn't get to meet.
Maybe next time if you can come to Italy.
Oh, there'll be a next time. There'll be a next time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. By the way, I want to say that I'm really, really honored to be on this podcast. I follow your podcast for many, many years. And I've been doing this job of comedy in Italy almost 12 years now. And you and other podcasts from the United States, but you especially really inspired me in doing better and being a better person. So I really, really think that.
I appreciate that.
You were my friend in traffic and before going to sleep many, many times.
I really appreciate that because, you know, for Americans who don't know, you started on YouTube and amassed this following, and you now are a judge on Italy's Got Talent.
Fantastic.
So it, you know, you also told me that there is like a developing stand-up comedy scene in Italy as
Yeah, it's growing. By the way, I was just about, after I talked to you in Rome, I was just about to do a live comedy show for the first time with another great comedian, Francesco Arienzo. And we couldn't fucking do the debut because of the coronavirus.
Oh no, that was about to, oh, that was, oh wow.
That was my big like live break. Like that was my first time doing something that I really worked hard on. And because I did a lot of television, internet stuff and movies in Italy, but I never really did the live stuff. And I'm really looking forward to that.
You will get to do it. I mean,
I know.
As horrible as this is, and we're in the midst of it, and you've been in the midst of it even longer, we will get through it. The only thing that I can't really figure out is like, when will it be okay? Like, it's not like the day they say, okay, you can leave your home. It's like, okay, well, let's have shows again with, you know, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I just can't figure out, is that 6 months from now? I don't know when that is. We're just sort of living day by day.
Us too. In Italy, in a couple of hours ago, our prime minister talked in something positive has happened. The curve of the contagious, like, people are, it's going down.
Oh, va bene.
So it's really, really good. Siamo felici perché sta diminuendo. It's going down.
Sì.
So we're looking forward to going back to, but they say that until the vaccine, we have to, our life is going to change a little bit because we have to protect people that really suffer from the virus.
Of course.
Everybody actually suffers from the virus because you really don't know if you do or not. That's why everybody has to stay home.
Right. Yeah. It really is sort of it is a crapshoot, and obviously things can weigh in your favor if you're, you know, if you're in a healthier or in a safer age range where you're healthier and your lungs are healthy and, you know, some of the people tend to do better.
I'm doing this thing on my Instagram. I do like random numbers and I call people just to keep them company during this quarantine.
That's nice.
And I called this, a woman that was on Italy's Got Talent that's 94 years old. And I asked her about what was it like doing the Second World War? What were the differences between the war and this strange period of quarantine and the coronavirus? And she said that the war was less boring.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said the American come, they put the flag and everything is done. But with the corona, you really don't know, like you were saying. We still don't know. We don't know the virus. We don't know what it is, how it's work. That's why it's scary.
Of course. And I've been very hesitant to try to, I mean, it's because it's a scary thing and it's obviously a very bad thing. And I don't want to seem so, I would say in America, we would say Pollyanna about it. Like, oh, everything's great. Like,
yeah.
But trying to find some positivity in the middle of this, you know, awful thing. The one thing that I find very heartwarming about it is that globally we are unified in a, because we are all in the same situation, you know, insieme. So we
sí, bellissimo questo.
Sí, and so it's the fact that we are all connecting. I mean, it's really wonderful to be able to talk to you and sort of share, you know, we text each other every once in a while. What's going on there? How are you? Well, they just locked us down. This, you know, I feel a sense of international community that I don't think I've really felt before in my lifetime.
I totally agree. And I think that this situation really underlines the fragility, the fragility, is that a word?
Yeah, see.
Of our generations, like our many generations. After the war, we never really had to deal with anything except our lives and our personal lives. And I think this thing is gonna really, really help us to think about, to put in line what are the important things and be more unite as a people. I think that.
È una chiamata telefonica, eh? Like it's a call, like.
Sì, è una chiamata. Sì, it's a call. It's something. I don't know.
How would you say? How would you say like a wake up call? How would you? Come si dice like a wake up call?
È tipo un segno del Signore. It's a sign of God. Sì.
Oh wow! God, of course, it's infinitely more religious in Italy.
Yeah, we have the Pope, Chris. Don't forget.
Oh, that's so funny. On our team. The Pope's on our team, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
For us, it's just like something you get at a hotel.
For you, you have to already invent the telephone. For us, you can say whenever in time.
Yeah.
If you say wake up call in United States in 1300, they won't understand you. If you
wouldn't
say
understand. Yeah, that's a sign of God. We did get to go. We went to Vatican City. I mean, I was raised Catholic. My mother's Italian Catholic. I'm not particularly religious now, but Vatican City was really interesting. I mean, it's like its own like sovereign state, right?
Yeah, it is a state. It is a state. Yeah, it's really. I by the way, I'm in Rome right now, and I live at like 500 meters, so like a kilometer from. I don't know what's in miles, so don't ask.
Sure, that's okay. Yeah.
Un chilometro dal Vaticano, and it is really weird. The other day, the Pope did that thing that it's called indulgenza plenaria. I don't know how to say it in English.
So it was like it was like a prayer of healing or something, right?
Yeah, because since people that are ill in this period and in the world, there's a lot of them. They cannot go to the church to get off their. What do you do when you? Oh, this is getting hard, Chris.
No. It's okay.
When you talk to the priest and behind that thing,
confessional.
Yeah, confessional. Since they can't do that, he erases the sins that you did. He did like a group chat of that.
You know, you should be able to email the Pope, and then he can just go through and just delete the things.
He will definitely be getting something by my aunties. I don't know if it's a sponsor.
I know these poor old Italian women who haven't done anything that are still like, oh, I feel bad because I coveted a lemon, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
But even not being religious, there was something really fascinating about
it. Well, it is really powerful. I'm not religious. I even my parents are not really religious, but there's something really spiritual, powerful about Vatican and all our history. So we cannot, as Italians, it's really difficult to put yourself aside from that.
Right, of course. But even just seeing the Sistine Chapel and understanding how long Michelangelo painted with his wrong hand, because he's left-handed. Sinistra, eh? Sinistra?
Mancino.
Mancino.
Left-handed, okay. Is Mancino. It's a hard word, but that's
Mancino, okay. And he had to paint with his right hand because the left hand was considered evil. So
yeah.
Painting at an angle, he's painting on his back in a dome shape,
yeah,
for decades.
Yeah, by the way, he got intoxicated because he was so close to all the stuff that he was painted with that he was getting like bad stuff to his health doing that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even a painter. He was a, I didn't know this.
That's crazy.
And the Pope was like, "You're gonna paint this," and he went, "Okay, you're the Pope."
Yeah, that's crazy. We did a talking about comedy in Italy. One of the most famous comedians in the history. Okay, we have Roberto Benigni.
Si, Roberto Benigni. Life is beautiful.
Okay. Yes, and there was Massimo Troisi. He was a comedian from Napoli. He was considered a genius. He's not with us anymore. And they did a movie. A really famous movie that I suggest you to watch. It's called Non ci resta che piangere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these two guys that go back in time and they're in 1492 before the discovery of the United States and of the America. And they explain like they want to get rich trying to invent stuff, but they don't know how to invent anything. Like even they say the toilet. They don't know how to do it. And they try to explain to Leonardo da Vinci how to play poker, let's say. And it's really, really funny.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a genius, but he doesn't get how to play cards. And it's really funny.
What is it? Just slowly for Americans, what is the name of this movie?
It's Non ci resta che piangere.
Okay.
It means there's nothing left to cry, but to cry.
No, but there's nothing left but to cry. This Roberto Benigni and this other comedian.
Sì, Massimo Troisi.
Massimo, who, chi era, come si dice comedian? Comedian?
Comico.
Comico, okay, so, quale comico, cazzo, stole all of his jokes? Wasn't there an Italian became really famous.
Oh my God.
Come to America and like hear Carlin and then take jokes back and fucking kill. And then someone, this was in a pre-internet era, and someone realized like, wait a minute, you're just taking American jokes and putting Italian on.
Okay, I can tell you the story from an Italian perspective.
And I love
really,
it.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this because, okay, this was a really, really famous comedian in Italy in the 90s. By the way, I want to say he was a really great comedian.
Uh-huh.
He was absolutely one of the best that we had. Then when we started getting YouTube in Italy, they discovered that a lot of his shows had jokes in it of George Carlin, of a lot of people. And they totally, we have some, like, what do you call the show that does, let's say John Oliver.
Right. Like a talk show, like a new talk show.
Yeah, they did a piece on him, a really famous TV program did a piece on him. And since that piece went in that show, showing the clip side by side, it was the exact same, even the gestures of George Carlin.
Oh, wow.
And it totally ended his comedy career. And by the way, the thing was that he, on the internet, before doing that thing, he would say to other comedians, "Don't steal my jokes."
Oh, no. Don't steal my stolen jokes.
Yeah. Don't steal my stolen jokes.
Did he ever talk about it? Did he ever say?
Well, it's sad. The explanation is a little bit sad because he said that he was his fans, since he was a huge comedian, his fans were great comedy connoisseurs. I don't know how to say that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a treasure hunt. They had to find which jokes were mine and which from the United States comedy to teach them about, yeah, that doesn't really work.
Because then you would say, you know, eccola, here's a joke by George Carlin that you might enjoy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Comedian, you know, whoever, Stephen Wright is a comedian that you might like. Here's his jokes.
That's so funny. It is funny. But by the way, I really, really want to say this. He was really, really great. He was really good.
So that's the disappointing part too, is because it probably was like, oh, you didn't have to do this.
He didn't have to do it. He was really, really good.
Yeah.
Like at one point he was a little bit like our David Letterman.
Okay.
He was really, really good. But then I don't know what happened.
Well, it just, you know, it probably just felt like, who's going to know, you know, like, what is there going to be some device where we can track everyone all the time and everything they say? No. I mean, I just know there is such, you know, in the comedy culture that I came up in, it is so bad. Sometimes comedians will write similar bits. There's parallel thoughts because
there's same premises. They can be the same, but the jokes. Yeah. Sometimes jokes are in the air, but that if you have an original joke, it's really hard that it's going to be exactly the same. I think.
But generally, like my experience is that if I realize that I have a joke that is similar to someone else's, I would call them and say, "Look, you know." I most of the time I would just get rid of the joke, but if it's a joke that's really integral to something else, I would call and say, look, I've been doing this joke for X amount of time. I just want you to know I did not steal it from you. What's your take on it? Can we find a way? That actually happened with John Mulaney a month before I take my last comedy special. His came out and I had a bit about Back to the Future that I've been doing for ages. And he had a bit about Back to the Future. And one of the jokes was very similar. And so I called him and I was like, I'm so sorry. I did not steal this. This came from a blog post that I wrote years ago, but it's very similar. I don't know what to do. And he was very sweet about it. He goes, I would never think that you would steal a bit. I would never think. Listen, and I go, what do I do? And he goes, well, if it were me, I would probably change it. And I go, you're right. So my bit is still about Back to the Future, but I removed that joke.
That part.
I fucking loved that joke, but I just felt like I got to change it. It's the right thing to do. So
yeah, the thing that I do is when I'm writing some jokes, I Google maybe the joke if I find something similar. That's one method.
Because sometimes when you've been doing stand-up for a while, if you get an idea and it seems so perfectly formed, now I'm often suspicious, like, wait a minute, that bit's too formed. Is that someone else's? So I will Google, find out.
I will ask
a couple of my friends.
Comedy minds, when you're working on something, usually when you find a premise, we think really alike. So maybe the directions you pick seem like you're stealing, but you're simply going logically, comedically in that direction for some jokes, I think.
Agreed. But I also think that can be a gift, because if you are faced with having to rewrite something, it might force you to go in a better direction than
of course. I read an American book. I don't remember the author. It's called Poking a Dead Frog.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good book. And it says that when you're thinking about comedy, you have to, there's the first level for a premise of the joke, then there's a second level, then there's a third. Maybe if you dig deep inside of you, you can find the good joke for you in an original joke and not steal it from anyone else.
It's the bottom of Inception. You have to find.
Yeah. Your truth.
Yeah. But we talked, When we had coffee in Italy, we were talking about, I just loved how curious about comedy you were in American comedy. And you said, yeah, but we're different. And I said, no, I think comedy is different, but comedians are all the same.
Yeah. You know, like, I love that.
We're all the same. Do you find, like, are comics there? Do they tend to be neurotic? Are they overthinkers? Are you an overthinker? Is it, do you
definitely
find
that? I find that your sentence is really, really true, because comedians, I listen to hours. I love comedy, and I listen to hours of American comedians, and the way they think is not really different from comedians here. But comedy, it is different because it's something ingrained in our culture.
Yes.
So it's in some ways it's the same, because it's like musical notes. It's mm-hmm. all the same notes, but culture makes a big difference in how it comes out. And I think even that we're a less progressive country, even if we're getting there. So I think with time, comedy too is going to be globalized by that point of view.
Posso parlare, or io parlo le parole, ma non parlo la lingua di cultura.
Sì, non fa niente, puoi parlare, vai.
Sì. So it's the words are just one part, but the language is an entirely
different
understanding.
Exactly.
So I've often wondered, you could easily come do comedy here because your English is, you know, benissimo.
Thank you. I have to work on it, but thank you.
But my mio italiano non è buono. So my comedy act would probably be how clumsy my Italian
is. Of course.
But I love the idea of adding an element of having to make something funny in a different way, because I am now using a different set of tools. So I would love to come try.
When you think about doing comedy in another country, it really, really makes you think about the job that we do, because all we do is, and that's the comedian is obsessive about that. How are people looking at me? Like what's the idea of that the people are getting out of me? Like, who am I when I'm talking here? If I'm, nobody knows me in these 5 minutes, who am I by the things that I'm saying? That's exactly what you said. So that's really, really interesting. It makes you think about the choices you would make if you had to do comedy in Italy with the Italian that you know how to speak.
Yeah, but also I wonder, Where would you say Italy's comedy audiences are? Would you say, because you listen to a lot of American comedy as well?
Yeah.
So would you say that Italy it's still sort of a new art form there? So does it sort of feel like comedy in the 50s and 60s in America, or is it just a completely different thing?
I think that if we talk in big numbers,
yeah,
It's different, but it's kind of the same, because we have comedy movies, we have comedy shows. I think it's really different culturally in stand-up and the live performances. Over here, comedians tend to do a theater show, like they do, I don't know how to say it. They don't yet. They talk to audiences, but it's more like it's more like cultural comedy. Like they say, North is like this, South is like that. It's on dialects. We speak like this. And in Milano, they speak like that. And it's starting to grow thanks to American comedy, because it really inspired a lot of young comedians. We have really good stand-ups, young stand-ups here. And we didn't have the part about talking about yourself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We had it, but it was different. It was like more show business like. I don't know how to explain it.
That makes sense. And even just hearing about that as an art form is interesting, because someone explained to me the path of a comedian once, and it's like, might have been Lewis Black. When you start out, you talk about other things.
Yeah.
But then eventually you sort of run out of other things to talk about. So you just go more and more and more inside yourself. But then that's when you discover who you are, and that could take 6 to 12 years, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes you unique, and that's what would make you, you know, stand out. But, you know, of course we do, New York does this, but, you know, Tennessee is like this, and they talk like this. But I will have to say, Italy's fucking dialects are so, because you've had so many centuries to develop them, but... you know, to speak in one region then you go, you know, and you go to someone like Venezia, and it's like, oh, well, not only do they have their own dialect, they have Venetian, which is another language, almost.
Yeah,
another language.
It's really easy for, like, I'm from Caserta, let's say Naples. I'm from Napoli, and it's really easy for me to not understand what someone from Venice, if he speaks in dialect, would say. I won't understand it, and it works both ways, by the way. And it's really weird. If you speak dialect, other people won't understand you.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the really fucked up thing about learning Italian is because, you know, I have a teacher that I work with sometimes, insegnante, or tutor, and I use Rosetta Stone and a couple other apps. But I don't know what broad form of Italian I'm learning, because then you go to different regions and they go, oh, no, we don't say that. We say it like this.
I know, Chris, but you're learning the right Italian. Don't worry. You're learning the right Italian. Don't worry.
What is the blanket? Is there a name for the sort of broad blanket Italian versus
Italiano? Italiano. The rest are dialetti.
Got it.
And that's not it's not official. It's just how people talk when you're with your friends, let's say.
Yeah. And then there's a tense, a verb that is passato remoto.
Passato remoto, sì.
Which is this, you know, my teacher said, oh, very few people speak passato remoto anymore.
Yeah, you don't need passato remoto. It's like, it's in certain parts of Italy, they use that. Like passato remoto is when you say something that happened a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But some regions in Italy use it even if it happened like the other day. So it's really weird. Your teacher said, right, you don't really need passato remoto. Don't worry. You need passato remoto in Italian, just if you are writing a history book and you're saying, there once in 1492, scoprirono l'America. Like they discovered, you know, that's how you use it. You really don't need it. You won't be writing history books, Chris.
Well, I think it's safe to say I'm not going to come write an Italian history book. I am hobbled a little bit, which is a word that sort of means like, you know, sort of like cut off at the knees with my speaking, because I haven't really learned conditionals, so I can't say if then. So in my head, my teacher said, well, just say the simplest version of what you want to say. You could say forse, you know, instead of say, and then something else, you know, forse, you know, forse.
What you're saying, it's one of the hardest things in Italian. And even we as Italians struggle with it. Just to give you hope.
Yeah, because at least you're like, oh, okay, you know, I can say università or tazza di caffè. I can see what those things are, but it's the concept of temporal conditions. You can't picture those. So I've had trouble. But sei andato a scuola a Rhode Island, è corretto?
A Rhode Island, sì, scuola superiore, Cranston High School East. That's
wow. And so quando?
In 2007, I graduated.
You graduated in 2007. So,
do you add whoop whoop when you say that? No, I think.
Yes, America is very whoop whoop country. We add pew pew. You know, we.
I know. You love sound effects. Yeah.
You can add the air horn. I graduated in 2007. Yeah. Pew
pew pew. Pew pew pew.
You know, it's. There's a lot of things that you can add at that. So when did you come to, you were born in Caserta, but when did you come to?
My grandparents went to the United States in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And they put up a family there. Like they had five children. And my mother was born there. And then she came on holiday in Italy and she met my father. And she fell in love and she stayed here and I was born. And I came into the United States like to visit my grandparents, but I moved there in 2005-06.
Dual citizenship.
Yeah, I have dual citizenship. Trump is my friend, let's say. Maybe.
Well, there's no, listen, there's no reason to come here right now, but it's nice that you have the option if you ever wanted it.
Yeah. In Italy, we say avere il piede in due scarpe.
In due scarpe, two shoes.
Have one foot in two shoes.
Oh, that's funny. Oh my God, that's fantastic.
One foot.
I love it. I mean, we could almost do a whole podcast of just colloquial sayings.
They're incredible. They're genius. Like, as a comedian, there are really genius things that they invent here, like that one.
Did your mother teach you English from early on, or did you not learn?
She didn't speak any Italian.
Oh, and, wow.
And I think they just did dirty stuff. Like, because my father didn't speak any English, so I think they just fucked. Can I say, no, sorry. And till I was six, I was in this house till I went to elementary school, and I didn't really socialize with other kids, just my cousins. I discovered that I spoke half English and half Italian. So when I discovered that, it was really traumatic because I didn't know how to say chin in Italian. That's mento. So I would avoid any conversation where chin was involved because I didn't know. I would say, mi sono fatto male il chin. That's what I would say.
Oh, yeah. You.
Yeah. And I would be made fun of. So I started learning Italian then later. And I really, really practiced English when I went to school in the United States.
But that's the best time to learn it, because when you're a kid, you're just your brain is forming. Like, it's the challenge that I find with learning Italian now is trying to remove the step where I think of an object and then translate that. And then, so I've tried to do this thing where I just treat Italian words like synonyms as opposed to,
that's a really smart thing.
Una mele.
Well, you don't have to be. I think American people are too hard on themselves when they study another language, because there's the cliche that American people only know stuff about America and only know in English. But I think English was such a really gold mine of entertainment in the world that we had all this American stuff in English in Italy, all this entertainment, all these movies, all this iconic stuff. And English is a little bit simpler than Latin languages. So I think it's really normal to struggle with that, because people here just watch their favorite movie in English to learn English.
I know. And I really tried. Ho provato. I tried.
You try. Ho provato.
E cercare is also to try, isn't it?
Sì, ho cercato, sì. Ho cercato di...
Ho cercato di parlare l'italiano molto because I wanted to be un buon americano. Like, I wanted
bravo, sì.
Good and not expect people to parlare inglese.
sì.
So I would, but there was always a cliff, like sort of like
with of course. Kids,
where I would see it coming and go, oh, this conversation is going in a direction that I'm not going to be able to close this deal. We're in it now, so there's nothing.
Yeah, let's dance. Balliamo.
But I figured at least if they saw that I was trying, that they would be forgiving. And then they were. Everyone was very sweet. And,
no, everybody, people here love American culture. And if you try speaking Italian, they would love you from the get-go. So you're doing good, Chris. You're a great Italian. I would love to give you the citizenship.
Oh, grazie, mille grazie. Oh, sì. Boy, that would be so fun to have dual Italian citizenship. I would love.
You have to get me pregnant, I think.
It's going to be really difficult during coronavirus.
Yeah.
Molto difficile during coronavirus. So what are you, so let's talk a little bit about how everything's, because it really sort of felt like everything snuck up on us in terms of, you know, oh, this thing is happening, but it's happening in other places. And all of a sudden, don't leave your house. Yeah. So what was your general vibe like initially in Italy? Because here, I still feel like there's a shit ton of people going outside and being around each other. And my wife and I are like, get the fuck in your house. What are you doing? Did you have a similar problem in Italy, or did everyone
go in? The most interesting thing that I saw, because I have my brothers there in the United States and I have some friends in England and people from all over the States. Since Italy was the first country in the Western world to be affected by the coronavirus, it's sort of like we're in the future, because I read stuff in the American Twitter that we would think and we were right, and it's all the same. We would say it's just a bad flu. Mm-hmm. It will go away. That's what we said. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like that. Right. Because the thing that really alarmed us when we understood it, that it was serious, is when the president said, we cannot go out because hospitals are filling up. Because we maybe don't have the power of the United States. But I don't know, maybe there is really delicate to the situation there. We don't really have, when you get the coronavirus, if you get it bad, they need to put tubes and you need like, yeah, a respirator. And we are really not prepared for that. So it's really, really crazy. And when I read that in the United States, you go out, it's incredible for me, because we've been there. We went out, mm-hmm. even if it was advised not to do so. And we paid the consequences for doing so. And it is normal to do it, because it's sort of like you don't really believe it if it doesn't happen to you. Even if I'm saying this, someone in the United States will hear me and they say, well, I don't know. It's sort of like it has to be cultural. Everything here is shut down. Like if I go in the streets, I get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Or unless I have a really good, maybe I go to the store. You have to have it's a really, really serious thing. And we have a responsibility. When it is really working, staying home is we're getting less contagion staying mm-hmm. home. So it really, really works, because the virus is really, really infectious. 80% of the people, the bad thing about this virus is that 80% of the people are, I don't know if this is the word, asymptomatic, no symptoms.
Asymptomatic, yeah, sí, correcto.
Sí. And that is the worst, because if you don't feel ill, you go around.
Right.
And you infect a person that maybe will go to the hospital, and that's...
And that's what I feel like I want to say to people, is because I feel like, listen, American culture, and I love America. I'm not shitting on it, but I do feel like we are definitely a culture of ourselves. Like we focus on ourselves, and that is rewarded to focus also on yourself a lot.
If you would be a Greek god, you would be Priapus. Priapus was the god that was always had a heart on. You're always with your dick hard.
America.
Yes. And
it's that's right, because a priapism is
priapism. Yeah,
a priapism is a side effect of a drug.
Exactly.
You, like have a permanent erection.
Yes, like, permanent erection. Yes.
Yeah. Although if you have a priapism now, don't clog up the hospitals with just sleep on your side.
Or sleep on your side. Yeah.
But what I wanted to explain to people is like, look, it's not about you, you know, it's yes, a lot of people will get it and they will be fine, but it's if you are giving it to other people,
yeah, you're
you have to
people.
Understand. I don't think a lot of people really understand what flattening the curve is. It's like flattening the curve isn't just about like flattening the spread of the virus. It's so that the hospitals, like if everyone got it at once, it would be like a society collapse, because then everyone would go to the hospital.
Well, maybe Chris, to help explain the idea, you can say like this, like if for the coronavirus, definitely people are going to the hospital and they're going to get medical help, and definitely they're going to have more patients than usual in the United States, in England, in France, in Italy, everywhere. This is certain, because it happens everywhere. If you go out you're affecting even people that work in they got hurt, or maybe someone has a heart stroke.
Right.
And in Italy, in the zone where people were, it was really bad for the corona, they had to pick who to help.
Oh, no.
So that could happen. If there's a smaller community in the United States where there's just one hospital with, I don't know how many, stuff inside it to help people, that's right. Going to be really bad for everyone, not only the coronavirus, but every disease, every.
Yes, because I think in our Amazon.com culture, we assume that everything is infinitely available, and we've become very spoiled in that way and conditioned to think that. But just the idea of like, hey, if if millions of people all of a sudden need respirators, there aren't millions of respirators, it's like there's only so many.
Exactly.
And so that is why it's important that we don't all get sick at once.
Exactly. That's what it is. And it's working in Italy, and I hope that you do the same there. It's really, really important to do social distancing in this phase.
Yeah, especialmente, is that a word? Especialmente.
Specialmente.
Specialmente in Italia, dove è una popolazione anziana, everyone is older, like much older people.
Yeah, we're the second oldest country in the world, yeah.
You really have to be careful because my fear isn't getting it. I just don't want to get it, not know I have it, and then give it to somebody,
Exactly.
That's what terrifies me. So we have been self-quarantined since a week before the quarantine.
Because that's good.
We're like, well, fuck, let's... My wife saw this coming a week before that, and so she didn't hoard, but she just got a little bit extra.
Of course, that's smart. That's smart. Yeah.
Some extra canned foods and some frozen foods, and we did not get 10,000 rolls of toilet paper. We got what we thought would be good for a few weeks.
That's really smart.
And so she is the survivalist of the two of us. So she saw. We were like, well, let's just stay in and lock down just as a precaution. And then, then it became a mandate.
Well, I think it's going to be mandate. I don't want to, I'm not a spokesperson for the coronavirus, but
that would be a terrible job. I'm the public relations for the coronavirus. And Mr. Virus doesn't appreciate.
Yeah, what are you doing in the back going outside? Yeah. But no, I would say I think it's definitely going to get, if you don't do nothing to stop it, it's going to get worse.
Of
definitely.
Course. Yeah. And are there conversations in Italy right now about when, because obviously when everyone is allowed to go out again, is just ensuring that there's not a second wave because people
are
careless.
Of course.
Everything's fine now. And they just go back, especially, Italy is una cultura di caffè, all'aperto, going outside, sitting on sidewalks, clustering together. So
it's talking about the winter and the fall. Mm-hmm. That most definitely, if we don't do something, it might come back. And they're thinking about how are we going to live with this thing in this period of time. They're thinking about, are we going to open restaurants? How are we going to open them? A restaurant that serves 100 tables, do we open it and it serves 20? They're asking these questions. We still don't know yet, but we hope to go back to the normal life.
Of course.
So, yeah.
I mean, and I also...
They don't know yet, by the way.
They don't know yet. And I certainly don't want to scare people or add stress to anyone's life, but it's just sort of good, I think, to just be mindful and aware of why it's important to, not be running around hugging people right now, Or not going to parties, I mean, it is difficult. And I know, it's easy... Like I have a wife and I have a puppy and, so it's easy for me. It's easier for me because I'm with someone, and we're together, but I feel bad for people like my mom who's alone, So are they addressing mental health issues in Italy?
They're starting to do Skype Skype meetings with psychologists, mm-hmm. Because this is definitely going to be an issue that we have to talk about. There's a lot of people that are all alone mm-hmm. in their homes, and there's a lot of people that are really, really scared. And there's going to be definitely consequences for mental health, and they're trying to address this. And I'm doing comedy is my best to help people, making people laugh, but everybody has to do their job. Psychologists are doing it for free now. Like, I know a lot of psychologists, they're calling. If I tell them I have this friend that is not feeling well, we're just trying to spread the message that there is ways to get help. You just look on the internet and call a psychologist, and you can, if you're scared and if you're feeling anxious.
That's really nice, because I will say, you know, even though we were making fun of America before, one thing I think America is really good about is being very open about mental health.
Most definitely.
Talking about it and not, there's no, I don't believe that there is a stigma attached to it anymore, where there probably was in my parents' generation about having to seek a therapist or talk to a psychologist or someone. Now it's very, I feel like, encouraged, hopefully. Is that the same in Italian culture?
I think that it is almost the same. There's still a stigma, I think. They still, people are still scared of going to the psychologist. And I think that we're growing in that way. And then I just, and sometimes, it's going to be like the United States, and we're going to be more open about it and talking more about it. People in Italy tend to not talk about their problems usually. And that's a really, really bad thing. And I think that younger generations are changing that.
Good. That's yeah. good. I mean, you know, again, anywhere we can find something positive, what are you doing? Like, what do your days consist of, by the way? Like, how are you keeping busy? Are you playing video games?
Animal Crossing!
Oh my God, Jake, you have to come to my fucking island!
I wonder, do you have peaches, by the way, or
what? I do!
Come.
But, okay.
I want to come.
So cherries are my native fruit, but I have peaches, pears, I have, I'm trying to locate some apples.
I didn't find apples, and I got some oranges if you don't have them.
I have oranges too. So my wife is playing, and my wife got her mom playing, and her mom.
Oh, wow.
My wife's mom comes to her island and just picks all the fruit off the trees, and Lydia's like, could you maybe just take a couple and grow your own?
You know what I've been doing? There's a little tip that I'm going to give to all the Animal Crossing players. If you go to an island, you know, with the Nook Miles, you can go to another.
Yes.
Yeah. If you get all the stuff, like you dig it all up, tarantulas come up and you can make 8,000 a piece. And that's how I've been paying my loans.
Yes. So if you look at my, by the time this goes up, this won't be up anymore. But if you look at my Instagram stories right now, there's a little entomologist, an insect collector. That
I know. Flick.
Flick, yeah, the fucking goth dinosaur who loves
when
bugs.
Flick came to my island, I said, okay, it's going to be a long day because I played all day because I wanted that 50%.
I just want to, maybe you don't have to go to my Instagram. Maybe I can just show you. Can you see this? That's all tarantulas.
Oh my, that's so, Chris, we take the same picture. I have the same exact picture.
I sold them to Flick for 432,000 bells.
Look, wait, I'll show you.
I'm a fucking billionaire.
I have it too, 468,000.
Ah, that's great.
That's Flick.
That's great, because listen, I do find that this version of Animal Crossing, the house renovation prices have gone up considerably since the last game. $768,000. Fucking room.
The thing that I really hate is the loading time. Like, let me build more instruments at once. Don't let me click all the time.
Yes. Yes.
I hate that. I hate that I have to go in my house every time to do something.
Well, let me give you a tip. So, build a mini DIY bench and keep it in your inventory.
That's really smart.
Then you can just, every time a tool breaks, you can just place the item wherever, you can place the workbench wherever you are and just build a new tool.
That's really smart. Thank you, Chris.
Of course.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
But you're right, because I was digging out manila clams off the, everyone who's not playing Animal Crossing thinks we're fucking lunatics.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they would have an easier time understanding my Italian than all the people we're talking about right now. So, if you know, like, I was digging all these manila clams out to create fish bait to catch rare fish. And you're right, you have to go through and craft each one. Like, you can't just craft them all in a batch.
Just get 10 of them at the time of the, even I hate that.
But the thing that excites me about this, about the Animal Crossing New Horizons for Switch, is that, and this is not an advertisement, but you know, I played New Leaf twice, each time for about a year and a half. And that had a very finite number of things you could do. But because it's on Switch and you can get DLC, you could fucking play this game for, like, today, which is April 1st, all the trees turned to cherry blossoms and the fucking Easter Bunny came and there's eggs everywhere. And it's like, you
it's
know,
really a quarantine game.
The perfect time.
It's a quarantine game, yeah.
It's a quarantine game because it's just like a little animal zen garden.
Yeah. It's just, I've been playing, my friend comes, I cannot see my friend in person, like a really good friend. We both downloaded the game and we go on each other island just to have the feeling to be together. Yeah.
I bought a little doctor mask because you can,
you're good.
For Lydia, and we hang out with our masks on. But she went to, there was a DJ last night that a friend of hers told her about.
Oh, KK.
What? No, not you. Not in the game, like a dude.
Oh, like, dude.
Yeah,
oh,
not
okay.
KK Slider, but an actual dude.
Okay.
Who was DJing in San Francisco, and he opened up his island to anyone. And I think you can only have 8 people on at a time. So she kept trying. I was like, who is this guy? She goes, I don't know, but I just need to be invited to his fucking party. And so she got onto his island and he was DJing in real life and playing music.
That's so cool.
People were dancing on the island and she bought a bunch of shit from his stores that she didn't have. And so it was like, it's a really great connective time waster.
I totally agree.
We're gonna have to become friends on Switch, and then we'll have to come to, you know, we'll share.
I will love that. I need peaches, so I will definitely come.
The question I have is, when you show up on my island, is it gonna, I guess it'll still show you everything in Italian, I would imagine, and it'll show me.
Yeah, it's gonna show in Italian.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know if Trump is gonna stop me to come to your island, but I'm definitely gonna.
Oh my god, we should do this now before I have to close off the island.
Yeah, because Trump knows Tom Nook from your island.
Yeah, if I go into the Nook store and then Tom Nook starts telling me all the great things he's done for my island, I'm gonna be like, oh, shit. Yeah. And then we added this bridge. No, I paid for that bridge. It's the greatest stone bridge ever. I love that you've been playing Animal Crossing. So Animal Crossing is eating up time. Are you writing? Are you reworking the live?
I've been trying to write a movie and I'm working on, I'm really trying to do some stuff online, some comedy stuff. I've been trying, I try to keep up with my friends. I call them a lot because everybody's really, really locked inside their houses. So talking to your friends helps you, and it helps your friends that maybe are alone in their house. My parents, and I've been trying to do physical activity, but when you have Animal Crossing, it's really, really, really
it's
hard.
Really hard. It's so alluring to just stay on your couch or in your bed and catch insects.
Writing is really difficult in this situation because it's like, even like reading, because you read and you write and there's a like there's something inside of you that's like, I cannot go out.
Right.
And it's really weird, and it makes, I think creativity from this period, this really weird period, will come after it's finished.
I agree, because we still are not,
we're in the eye of the, yeah.
And also because it's very much forcing us to live in the present each day because we don't know,
of course,
what tomorrow is going to bring or the news of tomorrow. And so the thing that I've been really trying to do with, you know, transcendental meditation or, you know, trying to exercise when I can is just saying to myself when I get stressed, am I okay now? Yes. Is my wife okay? Yes. Is my mother okay? Yes. Today they're okay. You know, like, the news is obviously not great every day, but nothing more catastrophic has happened. So I'm just going to feed on that for now.
And, that really helps.
And live with that. Really. And then tomorrow will be another day that I will just.
That really works. And it's even some of my friends that are maybe alone in their house, they're saying that thing. So I think it's a natural response to how to deal with this kind of stuff. Over here, it's been like, it's like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Because you wait, you go to sleep. Like, this is for me is going out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to sleep. I wake up and I have a coffee, un espresso, un caffè.
Un caffè, sì, espresso.
Mi sveglio. Call my friends. I try to do some work, maybe edit a video. I play some Animal Crossing. I call my friends. I have a glass of wine at 6. So it's kind of the same thing. And I've been thinking about people that are alone in their houses. They haven't shook a hand or give a hug or kissed a person in a month. And that's like some kind of record in everybody of our lives. It's really weird.
It's not great because we are social animal. I mean, although, you know, I saw something on Reddit where it was just basically sort of like it was just sort of talking about like nerd culture, like, you know, don't go out, don't socialize, no problem. I've been working on that for 30 years.
I know. I read about that, but I think that when you do that, you always know that you have a choice to go out.
Yes.
It's really not nice to not go out when they tell you don't go out. It's really harder to do it.
Yes, and we are, again, we're so spoiled in the sense that we can, you know, we're such a world of a planet of consumers where we just get whatever we want whenever we want it. And I always found that really funny. I was trying to write a joke about it, about how when you think about, we live like fucking pharaohs. Like a pharaoh a few thousand years ago, you know, could summon whatever he wanted at will.
You just have to look inside your phone.
Yeah, and now you just look in your phone and you could, you know, like, I demand to have these salt and vinegar chips delivered to me expeditiously, you know, and we are we're sort of spoiled that we can just go to the store. But I was even thinking about like, oh, I have something that I wanted to send to a friend of mine. I don't know how to get it to him. Can I drive it and leave it out? Well, I don't know if I should do that. I shouldn't do that. I don't really want to mail it. I don't want to go to the post office.
Yeah.
I just can't do that for like even just reworking.
It's accepting. It's internalizing. Yeah. Internalizing
that we are just not as convenience seekers.
Yeah.
We are not like that is not really as much of an option at the moment.
Well, I think a positive thing is that we found something that in the future, when this is going to be over, I hope soon, I'm going to be sitting in Australia, maybe talking to someone, and I can ask them, where were you during the coronavirus outbreak?
Right.
And we're going to start a conversation. It's going to be a really good conversation starter.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I hadn't even thought about that because, again, that's sort of branching off the idea that we're all in this together, that we all have this commonality that transcends, you know, anything, nationality, race, gender, everything. We're all in it. And so it really is connective. I mean, I do flash forward to the times when I hope people appreciate, you know, when we're able to go out again, even just, you know, wow, I can just go to my post office again. Go buy a loaf of bread, you know, like you can, yes, you still, now you can with certain restrictions, but it still is, you know, it does a little bit feel like house arrest, you know?
Well, no, this thing makes you think about the meaning of freedom.
Yes.
Before, we didn't really know what that meant. Now we know a little bit better. So I think this is a really good thing.
I hope so. I really do hope so, because we are, you know, we do live in a more privileged time than almost any other, pretty much any other time. And, you know, and it is, and I think having some of that taken away isn't necessarily, like, my hope is that it's, you know, obviously it's not good for people who don't have access to things that they need, like healthcare or food.
Of course.
Basic needs. But beyond that, what I do hope is that having some of this taken away does make us appreciate the things that are important and make us sort of check back into life a little bit and not being so focused on, you know,
yourself, egotistical self.
Yes. And just like, oh, just
your filters on Instagram.
I know I was supposed to do another podcast today, and my podcast producer or my podcast booker called, and she was like, oh, you know what? You're the guest. He's just feeling really stressed about everything. He didn't want to do the podcast. And I go, that's fine. I go, look what's going on in the world. Do you think I
can't
do a podcast now? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's so many little things that used to tweak us out just don't fucking actually matter when weighed against, you know, like, public health. So I do appreciate that, that it's like, I don't care about stuff. I don't care about little things anymore, you know, that, and I hope, obviously, when things go back to normal after a tragedy, even after a war, after anything, people do sink back into a rhythm and they, you know, we
of
get
course.
Comfortable again. But I don't think, I think a certain amount of discomfort can remind us of what we have and to appreciate the people and things in our lives that we do have that we maybe
I totally agree, Chris.
What is the first thing you're going to do when you're able to leave? Have you thought about that?
I'm craving un aperitivo all'aperto.
Oh, got it.
I wanna have a glass of wine with
the
sun out, with my friends in a public place, and talk with like my friends. And I think that's the first thing I want to do, because that's gonna be in a long time. So
I totally understand too, because, and you know, my favorite thing about Italy is that you have this layer of everything there is so much older than our country. You have this layer of buildings that date back to like the 1500s. And then if you look down in the basement, there's the road that dates back 2000 years. It's like, so there's ancient, ancient treasure on top of ancient treasure. And when we were just the aperitivo, just when I was having, you know, una tazza di caffè, un espresso on the, come si dice roof? I don't know how to say roof.
Sul tetto, sulla terrazza, sulla terrazza.
Sulla terrazza dell'albergo, dell'albergo, it was molto, molto bella. The sun.
È bello. You just sink it in.
Yes. You just see the
sunray, the history. Yeah.
Gorgeous buildings, molto vecchio e molto bello. You know, it's like you see the history. And there's just the or, and we're like 30 feet from the fucking Parthenon, you know, and so
the really crazy thing is that we don't get used to it too. It's so beautiful that we always love looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really is. It's such a beautiful place and such a beautiful culture. And, you know, I was so heartbroken when it hit Italy, you know, it's like it was almost like, you know, when you hear something bad happens to a friend, you go, I just saw them. It was like, there. Like, we were with Frank and we were up on the thing. And we went to all these amazing places. And so it's, you know, my heart so goes out to you and the people.
Thank you so much.
We're all in it together now. We're all in it together.
Yeah, you too. The message I have from Italy that we're kind of in the future because we've been locked down. Try hard to stay inside your houses. It really makes a difference. It works.
Yeah, it does. And then I imagine, were you shooting your show right now? Did that get put on hold or were you on a break?
It was really, really weird thing happened is that I had the finals of Italy's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the finals without the audience.
Oh, wow.
And it was alienating. It was like doing rehearsals.
Right.
But I was on live TV. It was going live.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was trying to do jokes, but no one's laughing at your jokes.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is trying to figure out for comedians. you know, could you host a Zoom show where you have 1,000 people show up? And it's like, well, you'd have to hear, like, we really, comedy, stand-up is, live comedy is such a relationship with the audience.
I totally, yeah,
you need to, you need the feedback, and because that's part of the conversation.
It gives you, it gives you the pace of your conversation too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying this right. Qual è il tuo posto preferito?
Preferito?
A Roma?
Da, per fare cosa? Per mangiare? Per vedere la storia? Per cosa?
Sì, sì, per, la storia, la storia.
Well, I really love the Vatican. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I live by the Vatican, so when I used to walk in front of the Vatican to go home, you look at it, and it's really, really, really incredible thinking about the Pope is sleeping in there. And he's the leader of a religious movement that's one of the most powerful things in the world. And it's really, really humbling to go inside your little home after you see that.
Well, yeah, because, it again, there's so much history there. And, you know, we live in Los Angeles, so our very oldest history in Los Angeles, and this is very small, dates to the late 1800s, to the 1800s, the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And so, but most of Los Angeles really kind of exploded in the 20s. And so we just don't, the history here is sort of like, oh, it's like our cultural entertainment history or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of our old buildings are copies of old, of really old buildings in Europe. And so yeah. It, to even be able to be in a place where, you know, the roads, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, whatever, like Marcus Aurelius might have walked on this ground and
see,
they have John the Baptist's fucking head in that building over there. Like, this is like real history. It is really overwhelming. And you just see like this gorgeous building that's like an H&M, you know, it's like these historic, you know, have like a Starbucks or like an H&M.
Definitely. Thing.
What are your other favorite parts of Rome? Like when people are, let's be positive and think positive that when people to come back to Italy, where should they go? If they only have like a week or two, where should they go?
Okay. They definitely have to visit the whole history thing because everything that's a cliche is beautiful. Like Colosseum, Vaticano, all that stuff, you have to see it. But if you want to have a, like a good Roman day, like a person from Italy, you go to Trastevere, it's mm-hmm. called, and you walk around. At 1 p.m., you have a glass of wine somewhere, mm-hmm. and then you go to eat in one of the trattorie. Trattorie is like it means it's let's say a restaurant.
We have those here. We have. Trattoria. We go to the trattoria.
Oh, you say it? Really?
We say trattoria.
Oh, okay. And you order to eat either carbonara mm-hmm. or cacio e pepe or uh-huh. amatriciana, and you're good to go. Then you walk miles and you just look at stuff. I think that's the perfect day.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, we love, there's so many places in Italy that I want to go. I want to go to Milano. I want to go to Toscano. And it, but every place had such a specific identity. Yeah. And in Napoli, we went to the palace, I think is in Caserta. The palace is in,
La Reggia di Caserta.
Yeah, La Reggia di Caserta, which is, you know, molto, molto bella. Molto bella, molto bello.
Molto, molto bella perché it's female, feminine, let's say.
Right. Yeah. And then Herculaneo, which was
Herculano,
stunning, you know, and it's Herculaneum, for people who don't know, also perished when Vesuvius erupted, but
it's like Pompeii,
not as crowded as Pompeii.
Yeah.
But whereas Pompeii, people were fried in ash, in Herculaneum, they were buried in hot mud.
Yeah.
And so they excavate, and they can't even excavate all of it because there's an old city on top of the ruins. But
exactly.
They've dug out what is feels like a very modern city that's a couple thousand years old. There's like cafes on the corner. There's a gym. There's, you know, spa. There are shops.
The weirdest shit about those towns plumbing. That I never understood is that they used dicks as arrows in the city. Like they found a lot of stone dicks in the walls, and you don't understand if it's a like it was a pranker from those times. Or they just use dicks as arrows.
I do love that maybe there was some sort of like young Herculanean prankster. Like,
yeah. And now we're studying it.
They're not going to know what to do with these. Someday they're going to find a wall of dicks and they're going to have let them figure it out. But what I love the most is that you can see like in the places where the roof of the structures were preserved, You can still see the tiles. You can still see the mosaics as
it's incredible
as they were a couple thousand years ago.
In the little town where I come from, Carinola, some houses are historical. And a person bought this house like 15 years ago. They scraped off the paint on the wall, and underneath there was a thing.
Fresco?
A mural. Yeah, una fresco.
Sí. Oh my God! And did they date it? Did they know anything about it?
It is now on a historical thing, and school organized visits inside this person's house to see.
Oh my God! That's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Oh God! Now I have to have tours. Yeah, this is cool. And I thought it was just for me, but do you find that I do feel like that Italians really tend to appreciate their own cultural heritage. Do you find that most Italians appreciate that history and like really take it to heart?
I think it's a blessing and it's two sides of the medal. We are really, really patriotic. Like we are really we love our history. We really love it. And sometimes this thing, all the great things that we've done in the past in Italy as Italians, make you slack off as a modern Italian, I think.
Got it.
Like, we're the best, and that's it. You're not doing nothing to bring forward the how do you say, the l'eredità, how do you say, the
Lineage?
Yeah, what they left you. How do you say?
Oh.
Okay, let's say like I'm...
passed down.
Like, let's say, now we have to get to the bottom of this, Chris.
By the way, Frank, this is a game show.
Yeah.
Two people who speak some of the other person's language, and you're trying to find, this is a fucking game show.
Dude, yeah, I know. We just invented it.
We should invent it. We should make a game show during quarantine where it's like, oh, it's like...
Okay, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try
lasciare,
it.
Lasciare, lasciare. Well,
how, if I'm your grandparent,
yes,
okay,
yes,
and I die, okay,
yes, you
I will. Yes. Yes. I do will. And that's what was I saying, like... I forgot what was I saying.
You were saying that you're about the history, that it's you forget about what's been left, you know, like
exactly. L'eredità, the like, how do you say, the will, what is the, like, the, if I do a will.
Inheritance.
Inheritance, yes. That's what we're forgetting about. Like, we're not bringing honor to the inheritance.
Oh my God, we just got the word, so we would get points for that.
Yeah, 3 points.
Oh my God, I love this idea. This is a fun idea.
Yeah. I love it.
Maybe the game show is called Come Si Dice. How do you say? Yeah, then it's just like in America we call it. How do you say? What is that thing? You know, what's that thing? What is that thing?
Yeah, what's...
That's fun. I love this idea. But il mio favorito posto, si place.
Il mio posto preferito.
Preferito. Il mio posto preferito. La cripta dei monaci cappuccini.
Wow, bello.
Mia moglie, my wife Lydia, and I, we loved, like, abbiamo amato, like, we loved it, or say...
l'abbiamo amata, sì.
Like, when do quando usare voglio bene? Like, if you say, like, you know...
No,
like,
no, voglio bene solo per le persone. Antico? No, it's like, io a te, Chris, io a te ti voglio bene.
Okay.
Ok, però I cannot say ho voluto bene a the Crown Casino, like.
Right. Oh, you can't cannot, say. Got it.
To an object, you cannot say it.
Ok. So
you can say that you loved it. You can say l'ho amato.
Got it. L'ho amato. So abbiamo amato.
Sì.
Perché,
sì.
It's for people who don't know the crypt of the Capuchin monks. They and you can just go in. But they very much embrace the idea of memento mori, which is...
Yeah, there's a really great quote in there, I think, right?
The most beautiful quote ever, where you see them, because they're not allowed to do this anymore, but for a long time, when they would die, they had holy soil that they had brought in, and they would position their bodies in this series of crypts that you can walk through. And they would make, if anyone's listening, you're not allowed to take pictures, but there are pictures of it. They would make sculptures out of skeletal pieces. So like these, you know, like skulls with scapula as butterfly wings. And I mean, it's so stunning.
Yeah.
And the idea is not to be morbid. The idea is to remind people that we are mortal. So to embrace your life as you have it. And so the quote in English, non so come si dice in italiano, ma in inglese it is, you see all these dead monks, and it says, where you are, we once were, where we are, you will be. So in other words...
Allora, dove noi eravamo... say it again?
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, where you are, we once were, where we are, you will be.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Allora, in Italian is dove eravate voi, una volta c'eravamo noi, e dove saremo noi, un giorno ci sarete voi. It's sort of like that.
It's so beautiful because it's, and they're so well preserved, and it just reminds you, and again, I think this is incredibly poignant for now, to embrace what you have while you have it, embrace the time you have. And
especially now.
Well, yeah, because you know what I think this is all reminded us of, and we're seeing this in the entertainment business too, which is being totally shaken loose, and in the sports, like all the industries are being shaken, and it is a reminder that we are able to create this illusion of certainty, this illusion that everything is stable, but it doesn't take much to shake everything loose, and so it is... You know, I think it is a reminder of like...
Well, it reminds you that everything is stable not because of just you. Everything is stable because a lot of people are cooperating in something that you ignore. And when something like this happens, you really understand it.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And, you know, I don't bring it up to scare people or stress them out even more. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we don't know a lot. Like, in general, even though we... can trick ourselves into thinking things are 100% secure, we don't actually ever really know. We just sort of set these up on autopilot so that we don't really think or worry about it. But now again, because we're so forced to live in the present, I feel like there is an opportunity to learn how to live better and more positively once we are able to, you know.
I totally agree.
I really hope we have to check in with each other from time to time. And in a year, you know, it's like, you getting mad at dumb shit again? Yeah, I fucking...
yeah.
Traffic, I, you know...
No more tarantulas on Animal Crossing.
I know. Although there are some times in Animal Crossing where I get really frustrated because it's like, I, you know, I know how to catch fish and I hit the button too soon. What the fuck?
Yeah, me too.
Or I was trying to catch a tarantula the other night, but a fucking tiger beetle jumped in the way. And then I caught the tiger beetle. And as soon as I put it in my pocket, the tarantula bit me. But I don't know, any sort of last thoughts, any last ideas, any sort of, you know, words that you want to share, either anything serious that you want to share?
Since I'm an American citizen too, and my family is there in the United States, I don't think people are really going to listen to me, because when I looked at China in Wuhan, I really didn't listen to that too. But I'm going to try to say it anyway. It's a really, really serious thing, this coronavirus. And it's really easy to fight it. I know it's kind of crazy because the economy is crazy if you stop everything. But life, the life of people is more important than economy for now. Then that's going to be a problem. But for now, the priority is to not making people die alone in their houses, because that's what's happening here right. in Italy, and it's really serious. So really try to stay at home and social distancing. Just try to do it at your best. I'm not asking, because you're going to be forced by the government to do it. Right. So if just train to do it, because prima lo fate, if you do it earlier, it's going to be better.
Right, right. Well, I don't really know what, our calendar looks like right now in terms of how long it's going to go on. I mean, I do think finding that balance between healthy news intake and unhealthy amounts of news intake, yeah. especially because yeah. there are so many outlets, so many websites. I do feel like there is a rush to get information out. And sometimes you could be stressing yourself out about a headline that really was sort of designed to pull you into a story that maybe may not necessarily, it's like,
yeah,
like, you know, everyone's just working so hard to get information as quickly as possible that it's not all of it. You know, it's like, how do you know what is accurate? What sort of,
well, I think you should just see, the crazy thing about our culture is that in the Western world is that it happened to Italy, then it happened to France, it happened to Germany, the same exact thing. And it's going to happen everywhere in the world. It's just normal, because it's the first time a virus can spread this far, because we travel a lot and we see each other. And so it's, if you don't do nothing about it, it's definitely going to go as Italy, as it's certain. It's not like, it's not different. We're people, and the virus loves going inside of us.
Well, and so what do you find that Italians are doing to foster a sense of hope, you know, to feel like where do you find that in the dark times that y'all have been going through?
Well,
what have you been clinging on to stay positive?
Well, the statistics for now are really giving us hope, because in these past days, the curve went down. Mm-hmm. So it makes you feel proud to be a civil person, mm-hmm. and to not go out. And so when you see the curve going down, you're saying, okay, I'm doing a good job, because it's like a war. Mm-hmm. And you're a soldier, and your job is not to kill people, but to stay inside. That's yeah. how I put it. It's, and the doctors, they're doing the harder job. They're in the first line doing the harder stuff. So everybody has a job here. And the hope we find is in statistics. They're saying that by the 13th of April, maybe we're going to start going out.
Okay.
So we are finding hope that this thing that we're doing all together works, and maybe slowly we can go back to our lives. And it makes you really feel united as a nation. That gives you hope too, that everybody can do a good job.
Yeah, that's so well put, especially because, you know, when you think about, you know, if someone goes, God damn it, I got to stay. I mean, obviously, some people do have to leave their homes again for medicine.
Of course, to work, medicine.
But for anyone who's like, God damn it, I don't want to stay in my, you know, I guess, it's like, no, all you have to do is not leave your house. If you have food, if you have your basic survival needs, think about the healthcare workers who are sacrificing their own yeah. health to meet the demand of this influx of patients from this thing that we still don't know everything about. And so, you know, when you think about it in context of that, it's like, yeah, if all you have to do is not leave your house, you know,
it's really simple job to do.
Yes. And everyone has to do it. So
yeah.
we're all in the same boat. I mean, it is sort of like, you know,
if the government doesn't tell you to do it, like, you, I don't think anyone will do it, so I understand it, but I hope that I got the message across.
Yeah, you did beautifully. I mean, tu sei un buon amico.
Grazie.
Mille grazie per questa bella conversazione.
Grazie.
so wonderful. And also, thank you for, you know, thank you for being patient con mio italiano.
Ma va, benissimo, Chris.
It is one of those things where you just have to practice it. Like, you can only look at it on an app so much. Like, you do.
Yeah, you have to live it.
Immersion is really the best. Yeah.
You know? Have to breathe it. It's like comedy. You don't really learn it. You just live it. You just try to learn it by doing it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no other way to do it other than just to do it. Just out of curiosity, as we're wrapping this up, what was the focus of the show that you were putting together? And do you think it's going to change?
That's a really good question, by the way, Chris. I love that you do this job greatly, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
We don't really want to change the focus, but we definitely have to address it, I think, in the show. Because we did a sold out of all our dates that we had, and we couldn't do it anymore. So I think, and it was the first time for me and this comedian doing it together and doing a live thing. So I think that we should address it in a monologue or something, say that we almost didn't do this and talk about how it was. Because we did rehearsal for this show for like 10 days because we had our debut.
Yeah.
And we debuted it in front of no one. Like we did it. But in front of the director and just that, it was good, but it was weird. So we're definitely going to address it, but it's going to be the same, I think.
Well, that's good. And I just don't want people to put, I find that I myself have been putting a lot of pressure on, like, oh, I have all this time now. I need to write something. I need to make something. But I think the point that you made was really good, which is like, you know what? A lot of that stuff's probably going to come after. And it's not that I don't want to write about the virus. Like, I just don't. But even just being creative in general, I feel like I can't waste all this time. But I feel like maybe people should be, I'm saying this to sort of give people a pass. Like, you don't necessarily have to do anything if you're not inspired. Like, don't put the pressure on yourself, because part of your emotional energy is sort of just getting through each day and just maintaining your own sense of mental health and well-being, and to add that pressure on top I don't know if that's necessarily.
I think the best thing creatively that you can do right now is to live it. Even if it's bad, if it makes you feel bad, just try to deal with it. And I think creativity will come after, because I try forcing myself. It doesn't really work.
No, because it, you know, like you kind of need to be a little open. Like, some of your creative energy has to be free if you're going to make stuff.
Yeah, but you end up imitating yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but when your mental energy is being, you know, taken up with things like, do we have enough, paper towels? Do we have enough milk? Do we have enough, you know, how are we going to get, it can be a little, as distracting as creating can be, it can also be kind of tough sometimes. So I'm just sort of, I just want people to have the permission to, like, you don't have to write the great American novel or the great Italian novel while you're in quarantine.
I totally agree. The thing is that every day, we're not living every day as before, because every day, if I open social media, I'm going to read about the coronavirus. I'm not going to read any other news. If I watch TV, it's like that. And I'm inside because we have a lockdown. So since every day is the same, it's really difficult being creative when you don't have a lot of inputs. Like, that, I think that's the thing. We're really focused on this thing, and that doesn't really work on creativity, I think.
Well, honestly, Frank, reach out anytime, you know, like, you, but offline, we have to connect on Switch. So.
Definitely. I want those peaches.
Yeah. what fruit do you have? You have oranges.
I have the cherries and oranges and pears, but my native fruit is cherries.
So is mine. But
everybody hates their native fruit, I think.
Well, so here, just one last thing about Animal Crossing. When I started, the first time I started the game, I loved the island shape that I had. There was a circular, una isola in mezzo, like
right in the middle.
And I loved it, but I didn't like, I think I didn't like the name of my island or something. And I go, oh, I'll just start over.
Oh, so no.
I quit the game and I started over. And it knows that you did, like, it randomizes the island.
No.
And so I started like 6 or 7 times over, sitting through the whole intro to get a better island. And I finally had cherries, and someone in our sort of like friend group, because we're all playing, they go, what's your fruit? And I go, well, I don't like my island, but it's cherries. And they go, keep it, because no one else in the group has cherries. I'm like, fine, I'll take one for the team.
That's so nice. That's so nice.
So we will be friends and in Animal Crossing.
Thank you so much.
And come si dice, goditi il tuo burrito? Goditi, enjoy.
Enjoy your burrito. Goditi il tuo burrito.
Goditi il tuo burrito.
That's
goditi
how you say
il tuo panino, you know, like when you
yeah, goditi il tuo panino, sì, anche.
Sì, sì, sì. Mille grazie. Good night. Stay safe.
Grazie.
Stay healthy.
You too, Chris. You too. I love you, all of you. And thank you for what you do for the comedy culture. And keep doing these podcasts, even if you're inside your house. And
you as well. People should follow you on Instagram, by the way. You have some really great, like you do some great filter work with you as a baby and with you. I gotta
Thank
find
you.
The app where your mouth is on like a potato and you're.
Oh yeah, it's Snapchat. That's Snapchat.
Oh, that's just Snapchat.
Yeah.
I'm too old for Snapchat. I just haven't.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm trying. Anyway, goditi il tuo burrito.
Sì, va bene.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.